Yeah, well, somebody has to yell it. It might as well be you. One more time.
Freebird!
Yes! Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. I'm allowed to say this without offending you. If I say, does your face hurt? Normally, that would be offensive, but today it is not offensive. I'm curious if your face hurts.
Yes, I got Botox yesterday with Mary Vandeveld. Does your face hurt, Mary? Because it's
not
killing me.
No.
You guys look great.
You both look great.
Unbelievable.
Look at us in 7 to 10 days.
So far, nothing's going on.
You can't
me.
Tell How anything, Mary?
No. I got takes a
little.
A while.
I feel like I have noticeable. My resting B face is not so B.
Does it have to, really? Like, what does it do? Like, inflate or something?
It gets rid of our. Well,
it
paralyzes the muscle.
Oh.
And then. Sort of the 11 in the middle of your nose. The two lines.
You had an 11 there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes to 11. So I kind of miss saying that.
Your nose went to 11. this was done on the air right here, right?
Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart and.
Judy Pilak.
Yes.
She also had this procedure done.
Dr. Sherba.
Sherba, yes.
Sherba.
Dr. Sherbet.
Well, I can see why Judy would do it, but you two look fine.
Oh, snap! It was peer pressure for me. Peer pressure.
Neither of you had ever had anything like this done in
the
past.
I had Botox about 15 years ago, but you got to kind of keep it up. I didn't.
Judy had it done, too. So
she did. Judy goes in every few days.
Yeah, it was just me that was
she
like...
She goes to Jiffy
and
Lube.
And, of course, they made me go first.
Why did you get chosen to go first?
I don't know. Kathy Hart looked at me and said, you go first because you've never had it done. I go, wait.
That's
because
they
thought
works.
Maybe if the other two, it didn't go so well. I wouldn't want to have it.
That's why.
Is that why?
Yes. And Mary's just leaning back in the chair. Frank Fontana streamed it live on his Instagram.
Oh.
And really, it was just to, a lot of women get this done. I mean,
they have parties.
They do. And there were a lot of questions we had. So we handled all the questions while getting it done.
What were your questions? What did you want to know? How soon will I notice the difference? Right.
Yeah. When can I put makeup on?
Yeah.
When can I wash my face?
Yeah.
Can you swim right away?
Yeah, what? After 4 hours, the little needle hole. They use tiny little baby needles.
You know what was cool is I was watching it online, and Mary's 11. I'm watching a few minutes. It's a 10, then it's a 9, then it's an 8. It was like the ball dropping in Times Square. It was fun to watch.
I still have a 1 right now. It's down to a
That's
1.
Better than 11.
It's a very deep one.
It's way better than 11.
I'm hoping it's gone.
My face hurts.
Really? There's got to be pain,
anything.
Right? There's got to be.
It's a little tender. But now I am on an anti-inflammatory for my knee, so that thins your blood. And I don't know. But an anti-inflammatory, it should help with this.
Yeah, feel like your face is exploding right now?
No, it's just tender.
Oh.
Shouldn't the botoxicologist have asked you, is that
He did. He took my whole medical.
So they want to know if you've got anything that would be thinning your blood, right?
Right.
And that didn't change anything?
No, he said I might be a bleeder, but I didn't.
Oh.
That's why I went first, because I didn't want to see you bleed.
I ended up not bleeding.
Would you have canceled, Mary, if you had seen Wendy bleed?
I would have thought about it. I didn't need that, no.
Where exactly do they inject you? Is it on the forehead?
From the eyebrows up.
Yeah, a bunch of
places.
Then
several
they did
injections?
My nose. They did a couple in the sides of my
nose.
Yeah,
I got that,
I didn't
too.
Like that part. But
nose tox.
I don't. Nose tox. I mean, I know I have a big nose.
Nose tox, these tox.
would have to hurt, because how could that not hurt?
It didn't. It felt like a pinch. Like you were getting a shot, which you
really?
Won't get anyway.
No.
So you would have died, Bill.
It didn't really hurt. It was just, you know, you were aware that a needle was being...
I was relaxed, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't know why.
What relaxed you about this, Mary?
Because I was laying back, and she was just like, okay, squint your eyes, make a mean face, make a, you know...
That was easy for me.
Yeah, me too. I didn't have an issue.
They kept saying, Wendy, not that mean. Far less mean than that.
Not trick-or-treating mean, Wendy.
Yeah, I know.
Would you do this again, or is this a one-time...
Yeah, I'm going to do it as much
fairly
as I
fairly regularly?
I'm going to get on a regular plan, I think.
Yeah?
I want to see first, if it works.
Oh, course. Why would you continue to do that if it didn't work?
So, how will you measure if it works? Only if you see it or if people mention things?
Here's how
to
Wendy
you,
will tell. If people come to the door and they say to Wendy, is your mother home?
What?
Little girl, is there some way we could talk to your mommy?
She's out with Jim. Oh, daddy-daughter date.
Judy Pilak actually said that she didn't really notice, but other people noticed it on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was like the opposite.
Well, that was kind of my question, right? If you were going to expect other people, who would... Bill, would you ever go up to a woman and say your face looks smoother?
Never.
No.
Never.
It's like saying they're not blonde.
My eyes
who
don't...
Who would do that?
No one.
Shut no up. One.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because Mary, remember Dr. Sherba said, if you are blonde hair and blue eyed, a lot of times it doesn't take.
Yeah.
What?
Because I'm really fair skinned.
And here's you and Judy sitting there.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think it worked already.
Really?
Within a day, you can tell the difference.
Do you see 11 lines in me?
I don't see any lines.
I got them.
I see, I mean.
Forehead lines.
Forehead lines, but in this area, no. But that was never was that ever a problem?
Oh, they were so deep. I used to do jello shots out of them.
She skied in them.
Wow. All right, let's do this. We'll take a little break. All kinds of stuff on today's show. We're thrilled that you're listening. It should be quite a day tomorrow. We really are going to do a wall-to-wall coverage job tomorrow for you of all the elections here on WGN Radio. So please tune in and be prepared.
I can't wait to vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really can't. I'm going to do it after the show, going with my son, Michael, and it will be very fun.
We have been told that this is one of the most important elections of our lifetime, and I believe that. I think that's true, don't you?
I really do.
I didn't think, like, if you looked at the cast of Saturday Night Live, I didn't think that Pete Davidson would be the most controversial of the cast of Saturday Night Live. I don't know who I would have put above him, but to look at that group of people, you wouldn't imagine Pete Davidson would be grabbing headlines at the rate he has been.
Although he seems the type to be, what do I have to lose?
There's that element to him. There's no question about it.
And make yourself stand out. He's certainly doing that.
He's been doing that, too. So in the beginning, it was with his whirlwind romance. I've always wanted to say whirlwind romance. That's the first time I've said it.
How'd it feel?
It felt pretty good, Steve. I got to be honest with you. Whirlwind romance, which sadly has fizzled, his relationship with Ariana Grande. So then he did a joke on Saturday Night Live this past Saturday that's getting a lot of attention on the negative side. I'll run you the joke. The premise here is that Pete Davidson was showing photographs of people that are running for office tomorrow and making jokes about their appearance. And the results were mixed. Some of them were funny. Some of them were not as funny. And then he got to a photograph of Dan Crenshaw, who you should know if you've not seen Mr. Crenshaw, has only one eye. He has a patch over his eye, lost it as a member of the Navy SEALs. So this was the joke. Keep in mind, you got Pete Davidson sitting at the Weekend Update desk. They're showing pictures, and he's commenting on their look, and then you hear this.
This guy's kind of cool, Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on, man.
Yo, hold on. You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. Whatever. All right,
needless to say, a lot of people are very, very upset about that joke. Dan Crenshaw himself, however, although bothered by it, isn't as mad as a lot of people are. He says, you know, it's comedy, he gets it, but he has a solution for what should be done next. Here's Dan Crenshaw.
Everybody's asking that. Like, do you demand an apology from this man? I do not demand an apology. He probably should apologize, but I don't want some hollow apology. I think he's exposed himself. I think he's exposed himself for who he really is. You know, I wish him well. I think what him and maybe the producers at SNL should do is pool their money together. Let's throw a figure out there, $1 million. And we will donate that to a series of veterans nonprofits that helps veterans. Maybe the Navy SEAL Foundation, maybe Wounded Warriors, maybe Folds of Honor. I was just at their benefit last night. There's a lot of great organizations out there. There's a lot of veterans that really need help. And frankly, you know, this kind of thing is offensive to them. They feel laughed at. The first part of that skit was just strange. I don't know what kind of programs that he's watching. The second part, I think, is when it just became dark. And listen, as we have thick skin, but as veterans, it's hard for us to understand why war wounds would elicit such raucous laughter from an audience. And you know, so I think they should have. I think they should have rethought that joke a little bit, if you could even call it a joke.
What do you think?
I think that's big of him to say, you know, it's comedy. I get it.
Yeah.
In this day and age, I just feel like you should stay away from easy targets like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't laugh when I saw the joke. I want to
cut the audience some slack because it was an uneasy laugh, and you know, we've seen that on both sides where you don't know.
It was a shock laugh.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that he would go right.
Here's my question, Bill. Yeah. You know about these shows?
Yeah,
all of this is going on Pete Davidson. If he's the performer up there doing it, does that mean that he's the one who wrote it?
Not necessarily. With Pete Davidson's bits, more times than not, he is the sole writer and sometimes writes with another member of the staff. I don't know what the case was with this particular joke, but certainly somebody saw that joke before it went to air. There's no question about it. They probably did it in dress rehearsal earlier that night. It's possible it was added after the dress rehearsal, but not probable. So somebody certainly could have stopped it as he was doing the joke, because I knew Dan Crenshaw's story. So he did it, and all I kept thinking as he's doing the joke is he obviously doesn't know he lost it during war. He wouldn't do this. But then he admitted it. He goes, I know he lost it in war, whatever.
And that was a blow-off,
too. That's the word. Yeah.
He did it in a, like, whatever, really?
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when I thought the line was... I wouldn't have done the joke to begin with,
right,
because the source was so, I mean, really.
And here, I'm going to say this, and whatever, you can agree or disagree. I love SNL. I watch it every weekend. I have pretty much seen every single episode except a couple of seasons when Joe Piscopo was on.
Because of Joe Piscopo?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It was just a weak time. There were a few seasons that were rough, but I've pretty much watched it, so have you.
Sure.
And last night Saturday night didn't do much for me. I know it's pre-election, and I know it's going to be political, but that's all it was, and it just really,
yeah,
it wasn't entertaining for me.
If you look at any one of the episodes, there are highlights and there are lowlights. There's
right.
stuff that works, there's stuff that doesn't work. Every once in a while, they have a show that's just amazing for 90 minutes, and every once in a while, they have a show that's just horrendous for 90 minutes. But on average, out of every show, you find a couple things that you go, that was really pretty good, and other stuff you go, I don't know why that was on the show.
Right.
Yeah, like the lying right? down teacher, I didn't get that one.
That was a little peculiar.
But I've forgotten the name of the host now already, but...
Jonah Hill.
When he did the little boy, old Jewish man.
He's done that before.
Oh,
that's a running
so
character.
Funny.
Very
never
funny.
Seen it before. Hilarious.
Very funny. And when Kenan Thompson does Big Poppy during Update from the Boston Red Sox, that's just
gold.
You can't do better than that. That's so funny. He, by the way, Kenan Thompson said of Pete Davidson, he went too far. He said he really, apparently Kenan Thompson's father served time in Vietnam, and he said, I really believe that he went too far with that, which is very unlike that show.
Yeah.
Normally, they kind of
stick up for each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Linda's on the line. Linda, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I find the comment extremely offensive. I don't think it's funny. And I was just listening to The View, and Meghan McCain, of course, who, you know, is a big proponent of veterans, made some comments, and I agree with her that if this had been, SNL is a very liberal, obviously very liberal show, if it had been Tammy Duckworth, that she, you know, who's a Democrat, that comment would have never been made, and it wouldn't have been funny. But I agree, I think it's very much because it's a Republican person, that the congressman, they thought they could get away with their comment. I don't think that if it had been Tammy Duckworth, that would have been said. If my comment, I agree with Meghan McCain about that.
I kind of agree with you, and you know, I'm familiar with Tammy Duckworth and not Mr. Kershaw, so if it had been said about her, I would have been like completely irritated.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, I think it's a terrible, I don't think it's funny. And
yeah,
you know, these people gave so much of themselves, their lives for this man to stand up there and make jokes about that, and his father died in 9/11. What's wrong with this man?
Can I ask a question to both you and
sure.
Bill, Linda? If he would have said something like, and maybe you should vote for this guy because, come on, he's just cool looking, would that have been any different?
No, I would have been offended by that as well. I don't think that that's an appropriate comment. I just don't. You shouldn't vote for someone because of their handicap or whatever. You should vote for the person that you feel is the best qualified.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know,
Linda,
I just think it's terrible.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. By the way, is The View on right now?
Yes.
Oh, I got to go. Wendy, I got to go. I love The View.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you, Linda. And
I gotta go.
I do kind of agree with her on that.
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Yes.
It would be much different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a little break. We got news coming up next. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. If you want to call in or text in, it's so easy. You just dial us up at 312-981-7200. Speaking of calling in, Wendy, tomorrow I'm going through one of the changes of life.
Do men get menopause?
I'm getting my own kind of menopause. My wife has informed me that the telephone company will be at our house tomorrow afternoon to take out our landline.
Really, all you have to do is unplug it.
Is that all there is to it?
Yeah,
I don't know why they're coming over, but they're coming over tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, we cut the cord maybe a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and it felt weird because you always think, you know, I need to have a landline. I need to have a home phone number.
Yes.
I didn't want to give up my home phone number.
Yeah.
But then it's like no one uses it.
Well, on all of our cards, like if you go to Walgreens and you want that discount,
that really easily.
It's every one of those is all our home phone.
Simple thing to fix, Bill.
Well, but you don't know who's using it. That's the problem.
Oh, that's true.
You're
isn't
like,
it?
Who has it? But I left, Wendy, because not only do we not use the phone, it only causes me aggravation.
Agreed.
Now.
Because
you
know, why?
You still have
because
a landline?
I do, and I don't want any call I ever get on it.
Oh, Steve,
ever.
Don't talk to my wife about it, because she will insist that it be terminated immediately.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure you got a plethora of political calls.
Barack Obama did call me yesterday.
All right,
yeah,
see?
That's
fine. He didn't call my cell phone.
That and every college I've ever visited asked for money.
Yeah, I know.
You know, or it's marketing calls. That is it. It's my mother-in-law and Sharon's dear friend, for some reason, doesn't call her on her cell. So it's really only two people.
And that's it.
There's only two people we want to talk to who use our phone.
Right.
My wife said a year ago, she goes, I really think we need to get rid of it. And I go, come on.
And
we
you don't
have
like
it.
Using a cell phone because you
not.
Think there's some kind of connection to...
To the possibility of some sort of brain problems.
And there could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at you're in your 50s now.
Yeah.
It would take a while. You'll be fine.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
That's so encouraging.
Half empty.
That's so encouraging.
Something else is
going to
get you at
so
this age.
Terry's holding out the bill, our last two phone bills. And she said, how many minutes do you think we used up in the months of September and October on the phone? And I said, boy, I don't know. She goes, just take a guess. I go, 150, 200 minutes. 11 was the correct answer. We had used
it was all from you too
phone for 11 minutes.
I feel like we've looked into it, Bill, and they basically it doesn't cost anything.
Right. Well, it's just as part of the plan.
We were paying $31 a month. So Terry called to cancel it on Friday and they said, "What if we cut it in half?" And I wasn't there for this because I would have said yes.
They cut in half; it won't work.
But you're not even using it.
Well, I know, but to me, that's a good. Like, if anything else I've ever purchased, if the people who I bought my house from said, "How about we don't want the house anymore? We'll cut the price in half." Yes, I love this all day long. I would agree to stuff like that. So then I said to her, "That's quite a bargain." Now it's $15.50 a month.
Still
she
trying.
Goes, we're never using it ever. But I feel like. You gotta have a home phone, don't you?
It's weird to walk into, like when I walk into the house, there is no phone there. It seems like a phone has got
right.
to be in a house.
I have an app now so that when on my phone, on the phone I use, when someone calls our landline, I get a notification in who's calling.
You do?
Yeah. So we
That's
just,
a miracle.
We got a call an hour ago.
It says it on my TV.
Yeah.
Does everybody have that now?
Yeah.
So whenever anybody calls,
Bill,
it says,
you are just such a wide-eyed little boy.
That's so, stuff like that. When you were a kid, if somebody told you in your lifetime you'll have that, you go, "That's never going to happen in my lifetime," but it does.
So now I don't even have to get up to find out fire department charity scam is calling me right. for money.
It's easier. It's right there. Yeah.
I still have phone. My answering machine sitting there, and it's just for a stupid reason. There's a funny message from my son Michael when he was in like third grade, and it's like, hey, could somebody bring me a pair of pants? I fell in a puddle on the way to school.
Oh.
This is Michael. Like, we wouldn't
you
know
wouldn't
that
have figured
first.
That out. Well, the answering machine is another thing that plays into this, because Terry said, when is, she goes, be honest, when is the last time you checked the answering machine?
Great question.
And I gotta check it all the time.
You do?
I haven't checked it in months. Like, it used to be, if you went out somewhere, when you came home, that was the first thing you did, is you'd go to your answering machine and play back messages. Now I don't even look. I can't remember the last time I even looked.
And it's not about the money. It's just, I mean, $15 a month is not that much, but you're not using it.
I know.
But what if a slasher's in the house?
Yes.
And your phone isn't charged.
Yes.
Your phone isn't charged, and they haven't figured out, like, they haven't watched the movies where they cut the phone line going into the house.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Yeah, in the next room. It's your wife.
Right. Right. So I have such mixed emotions about this, because I never thought there'd ever be a time that I didn't have a home phone. It was just, it was inevitable. You were going to have a home phone. Starting tomorrow, that's not going to be the case anymore.
You'll be okay. 312-981-7200. Please talk through Bill. Through this.
I'm sure I will be. It's just strange.
It is weird.
How long before you'll forget it?
Oh, it'll take a day week. Or two.
No, yeah. Really, because I can remember my childhood phone number.
Oh me
sure.
too.
I can only remember bits and pieces, like 5390 was another one, but I don't remember the whole.
I remember all my friends' phone numbers.
Do you really?
Yeah. We were just out to dinner, my girlfriends and I, talking about this, and it's like, we totally remember everybody's numbers.
Yeah. I remember my home phone number, and of course, Papa's Pizza, 687-PAPA.
This kills me. The only two numbers you know by heart.
Well, I think you know this. When I was in high school, my friend and I went to Florida for spring break. And when we got to Florida, they wouldn't rent me a car because I wasn't 21. And I said, but we prearranged this. They said, well, we didn't know you were 21 or we can't rent you a car. That's all there is to it, right? So I said, what if I call my mom and she verifies it over the phone with her credit card? Yes, then we'll do it. So I called my mom up, and this was in the days before there was call waiting or anything like that.
Busy.
They just keep getting a busy signal for half an hour. She's on the phone. So the only other phone number I had committed to memory was Papa's Pizza. So I called them. And I said, deliver a pizza to this address and tell the woman who answers the door to get off the phone. Her son needs to get through to her immediately. And that's the only way I was able to pull it off.
Are they still around?
No, they're gone.
Because you owe them a lot.
No, I do owe them. I told them that. I went in and I thanked them when I got back home.
Who paid
home.
For the pizza?
That was on my credit card. Yeah.
That might be the best story ever.
Isn't it? I'm telling you, isn't there a sitcom about Bill Love's right, younger exactly. life?
No one wants to see this.
These are so funny and peculiar.
So the changing of the guard tomorrow is my home phone is pulled out from under me.
Well, are you going to, maybe, here's what I would do. I would break it in slowly. Don't be, you know, too abrupt. I would leave the phones in place.
Oh, just for a little while to get used to it?
Know, it's like missing your dog after she's gone.
I understand
leave
that.
Leave the phone there.
Can I tell you something else that's strange, Steve? I know this sounds crazy. I'm serious when I say this. If somebody else got my home phone number, there'd be some jealousy. It's like, that was my home phone for 28 years. You can't just have my number.
Why don't you have that number changed to the phone you currently have?
Oh, that's a good idea.
You could get a new cell phone account with your home
that's
phone
a great
number.
Idea.
You'd end up paying more.
Yeah, more than $15 a
month.
Oh,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. All right. We'll take a break, and then we've got a lot more show. We're at 312-981-7200. That's our home phone. Call us on the home phone, not on the cell. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me catch you up really quickly if you're just tuning in. Tomorrow, sort of a big day at my house.
My God, Bill.
I don't know. Is this a big day? Does it not qualify?
For you.
They're taking out my landline. Not because... No, Wendy, come on. It'll be all right. Not because we misused it. It's just because my wife confessed we hardly ever use it. 11 minutes in the last 2 months. That's not a lot. I use the toaster more than I use the home phone now.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. What listener? What is your name?
Mine?
Yeah. What is your name?
Oh, Siobhan.
Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Siobhan.
See, I guess you have the speakerphone of the cell phone. How handy is that?
Perfect.
All right. Now, you still have a landline?
I do, just in case. You never know if the towers get knocked out or something.
Yep.
I mean, I grew up and I was in a tornado here, and I will have my landline. My mother still has a landline since 1950.
Siobhan, if I need a home phone, can I use yours?
Sure.
All right, thank you. You're very kind.
All right, so you haven't cut the cord yet.
$10 a call.
That's fair.
Are you calling?
The phone company's calling.
Are you calling us on the landline right now or your cell phone?
No, landline is for incoming only. That's how cheap I am.
Wow.
I have people that can't hear on the cell phone, so I said, well, then call my landline.
Yeah. Will you ever get rid of it, or is it yours for the rest of your life?
It's golden. I'm going to keep it forever.
All right.
Because when I'm 19 years ago, when I moved to this neighborhood, I said to the phone company, I want 3 area codes, no long distance. My lowest phone bill was $6.45.
Good God. Wow.
That's awesome. Well, good luck with it, okay?
I wanted to tell you real fast about the politicians calling.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, somebody called. It was a robocall, and they said, how likely are you to call or vote? How likely are you not to vote? So I hit the not vote. I haven't had one call since.
Oh.
That's the secret.
Tell them you're not going to vote. Interesting. Well, thanks, Siobhan.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Siobhan. All right. Here's an idea of why Jean keeps her landline. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I keep my landline so that when I have to give out a phone number, whether it's I'm ordering something or something that they want a phone number, I just give out my landline so I don't have to have anybody having my cell phone number and reaching me some other time.
That's genius.
It's amazing what does get on my phone, but that's the only reason why. Now that my mom, who's elderly, can figure out how to dial my cell phone.
Yeah.
I have no other reason to do it, but when people need you to have a phone number, I'm like, sure, here's my phone number.
Well, we could just give you Bill's cell phone number to give him, and then you can get rid of your landline.
That's easy.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, the only reason why we keep it is, like, I don't want to give out my cell phone number to people that you have to. You know, like, say you order something from Amazon or some other place or whatever, they ask for your phone number, you need to have it on there. I just always give my home phone number so that they'll never, ever call me on my cell phone.
And the trade-off on this is, are you paying about $30 a month, or is it less?
It's probably about, maybe just a little bit less, because we have Comcast with the triple thing and stuff. But I mean, eventually we're going to have to, but I you know, like you said with all the college,
soliciting
money. While we were watching the football, I'm like, okay, that's political, because you can see it on the TV.
Sure.
And I said, well, Loyola called us about 4 times, you know. So I know what they are. And it's not that I really don't want to donate to those people, but I don't want the phone calls interrupting my life. So on my cell phone. Because
right,
I'm at work and I get these cell phones. So that's why.
Well, thank you so much.
You know what's weird, though, is I don't know. I had a cell phone very early on. Larry Wirt helped me work that out when I worked at the Loop radio station, and it was mounted in the car, so I couldn't bring it home.
Yeah.
And you were very particular about whom you gave your number out to, because you had to pay for minutes incoming or outgoing.
Sure.
And now with usually most plans are unlimited.
Yeah.
So I don't care. And when you have a phone call on your cell phone, you can block them. I have about 80 calls that are blocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still you block calls?
Just yours.
So in those early car phone days, car phone. And
it's
so
Motorola, baby.
I was at 26 in California at the Cook County Criminal Courthouse with the station car. Would have been in the 80s, and we had this, you know, car phone in the middle of the between the seats. I'm like, wow, I better hide this because
someone break in.
So I covered it with my leather coat, and someone broke in and took my coat. And I'm telling the cops, I'm like, you know, I thought I would hide the phone. He goes, well, there's an antenna on the back.
Yeah, that's, I didn't even think of that. And it was so cool, because back then, if you got like if you got it done installation properly, you could use it as a hands-free phone. And it was like super cool, because no one had that.
Well, the only two people that I knew of that had phones mounted in their car were Batman and James Bond. And I thought, wow. To be Batman and James Bond and be able to drive and talk on the phone at the same time. That's living.
And now look around.
Now everyone does.
Carol has called us. Carol, what's going on?
Well, I will keep a landline as long as they still have them, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to take them away. They're, you know, trying to get everybody to go on fiber optics and everything else, and that's all well and good, but there are still a lot of elderly people that will never, ever figure out how to use a cell phone, and all they want is their black dial phone.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just taking their independence away from them.
Sure. That's true.
And that's just not right.
No.
Plus, my phone, I've got one cordless one, but I've got other ones that actually, you know, have cords on them and everything. And when you lose your power, you still have phone service.
There's that.
Yeah, but you still have cell phone service, too.
Well, until your battery runs down.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. So, you know, I mean, if it's out for days or something because of a terrible storm or something like that, you're stuck.
Carol just talked me into keeping my phone.
You're not keeping
I'm keeping it. She talked me into it.
Thank you.
I mean, plus even the voiceover ones, the ones where you get, you know, Comcast and you get the phone and you get your internet and everything like that, you lose power, you lose everything.
Wendy's crying.
No, I'm going to rehook up my landline now, Carol.
That's what I mean.
Well, I mean, it's true. You know, I mean, and I know they're trying to get away with a lot of the cable pairs and everything because a lot of that is overhead, you know, in the older areas. The newer ones, they're usually underground. But they're really fighting to try to get rid of all of those, and that's just not right.
Hmm. Well, thank you. We appreciate your opinion. And I think we have one more here. Dave is on the line. Dave, what's going on? Hello, Dave. Oh, Dave.
Dave just canceled his service just then and there, right before your very ears.
All right, so the power goes out and the phone still works.
Yes.
Of course, you have your cell phone. If you run out of juice, as they said in the old days, is that juiced up? You can always go to the library or something and plug in.
If the library's open.
Well, then you go to Walgreens or something and say, hey, I
need a minute to charge up. Yeah.
You go to Bob's Pizza.
Papa's Pizza.
Papa's Pizza.
That's no longer there.
P-A-P-A. I know. It's very sad.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
It's very sad.
Life.
All right. We must take a break. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. Steve will do the news. And then there's a lot more show. Oh, by the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Jeff Kroll is here making a return visit to the show, an attorney over at Salvi, Shostak and Pritchard PC. Why are you not a partner? You should be a partner, Jeff. You know that.
Well, I'm a partner, not a name partner.
That's right. That's the way it should be. Very, very healthy attitude.
less money out of my pocket.
Oh, yeah, I guess there would be. All right. So we want to cover a couple of things with you today, but mostly the proliferation.
That was good.
The abundance of Uber and Lyfts. All of a sudden, there's way too many of them on the roads, and we're paying a price for it. Please take it away.
I have to look up the word you just mentioned.
Proliferation.
I don't even know what that means.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, he's like Rain Man all of a sudden. In the last 3 years, the number of registered vehicles for Uber and Lyft have quadrupled, which means there's more traffic on the roadways, which means there's more accidents.
Sure.
You know, for example, in 2016, there were 6 bicyclists that were killed. We don't have the infrastructure for this type of proliferation.
Yes.
Of vehicles in the city of Chicago and surrounding suburbs.
You know what else you can add to the mix is the Uber Eats and the DoorDash, because those are more services and more cars. Traffic's already completely congested. But what do we do? I mean, everyone's using Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Well, I'll tell you what the taxi cab union is trying to do. In Illinois, for example, the number of medallions are capped.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if you want to be a cab driver, you have to own a medallion.
Yeah.
It's capped. There's no such cap for Uber or Lyft drivers. So that's what they want. They want to cap it. 5-6 years ago, it cost $300,000 to purchase a medallion for a cab. Now it's down to $30,000.
Well, look at that huge drop.
It's because of Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
You know, why do that? The other part of the equation that people don't talk about is public transportation. If public transportation has dropped by 9% since Uber and Lyft entered the Chicagoland marketplace, pretty soon, one of two things are going to happen. Prices are going to go up for services, or services are going to be eliminated. It happens in every industry. That's something we're going to have to look at down the road.
Somebody just told me yesterday that in New York, they've put in this clause now where if you're not already signed up for Uber or Lyft, they're not allowing new people in. Is that true?
That's true. And that's what the taxi cab union and some of these other unions are trying to do. Obviously, Uber and Lyft are trying to oppose it.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that I find, you know, fascinating about this whole thing is there's a direct correlation from when we quadrupled this number of Lyft drivers and Uber drivers to the number of deaths that have occurred.
Deaths, well, more cars on the road, more accidents.
Yep. And the number of deaths, surprisingly, motor vehicle fatalities, was declining up until 2015.
Really?
I'm sure a lot of it has to do with seatbelt safety. You know, back in the day.
And airbags and things like that.
Back in the day, the seatbelt was, you know, your parent sticking their arm to block
the quick arm.
Yes. And my mom was like kung fu fighting. She was great. But that number was dropping, which is a great sign. Now, even traffic is now 15 minutes longer. And, you know, if you live on taking the Eisenhower, taking the Kennedy, it's really bad.
Yeah, of course.
But the issue that they're going to bring up is DUIs have decreased. There's a lesser number of DUIs.
See, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's a great thing. You know,
it's all a give and take kind of thing, you know.
It's a give and take. And that's you could take either side of this argument, but the fact of the matter is, we have got so much congestion in the Chicagoland area with these vehicles.
Yeah.
It's getting frightening.
So what do they say about this? What does Uber and Lyft say in their own defense?
We're providing a service to the community. Yeah. We're providing it at a cost that's effective. You know, some people argue, you know, I just talked about public transportation. Most people are not taking an Uber or a Lyft during that rush hour. They're taking it at night. They're taking it on a weekend when they wouldn't be taking the L anyway.
Yeah.
That's one of their arguments they're making. We're providing a service when these people desperately need it.
Kind of agree with that, though.
What is the test given to Uber drivers and Lyft drivers beyond just looking at their safety record? Is there any kind of test to get certified to drive for one of those companies?
We could be Uber drivers.
Yeah.
And it's not difficult to be an Uber driver. If you have a registered license, if you have insurance, you allow them to do a background check on you.
And they have to check your vehicle, too, to make sure it's not in disrepair.
Yeah, it's got to be four doors. It has to be after a certain year. I don't recall what the year is right now. But, you know, some of these Uber drivers, and, I take Uber on weekends.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
And they're using their phone, you know, so
that is a
driving
problem.
You know, you want to go back to talking about distracted driving, which we've talked about countless times. You combine someone with little knowledge about really driving in a commercial setting, so to speak, in downtown when they live out in a western suburb, and now they don't know where they're going, and you've got all this pedestrian, bicyclist traffic.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
I can't tell you, Jeff, how many times I've been driving by a car that's driving erratically, and I look over and I see the banner on the window that they're either an Uber driver or a Lyft
driver. Because every car on the road is an Uber or Lyft driver now.
It seems like it. Yeah,
it really does seem like it's
unbelievable because you can't drive on a weekend going downtown without seeing an Uber or Lyft. I bet you to your left, to your right, or in front of you.
Right,
they're just everywhere.
And they get this weird entitlement that used to belong only to cab drivers. I'm sorry, but it's true. Where they think we kind of own the road. You're on our roads, and it's not that way.
Yeah, along with the truckers, some of the trucking companies had that.
But and BMW drivers.
Yeah,
there I said it.
All right,
there I said it.
Who's left? Right. You.
It's just Mickey.
Just us two.
Me and a guy with a rickshaw. That's all that's left. So what do we do? What's our move?
I don't know. I think someday we're going to have to cap or limit the number of Uber and Lyft drivers like New York did.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody has argued that that's somehow unconstitutional, that you're restricting their business.
But guys, people are using it. If no one was using Uber or Lyft, that would go away. So, I mean, it's filling a void.
We know in Illinois, they restricted the number of medallions for these taxi cabs.
I know.
You know, they were up in arms about that. You know, it's kind of come full circle. They were up in arms about limiting the number of medallions. Now they're up in arms and they're picketing, saying essentially you have to limit the number.
Sure.
So,
Oh, I haven't been in a cab in 3 years where the cab driver at some point doesn't take a shot at Uber and Lyft. Yeah. I mean, that's inevitable. That's going to be part of the discussion.
Yeah. I still take cabs for certain. Like, I always take a cab to the airport. I never Uber. I don't know why. I just don't. Downtown, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to grab a cab before I'm going to do an Uber.
Yeah.
But in the suburbs, what do you take Uber?
I would Uber, yeah.
Yeah. And it's some of these Uber drivers are phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I've met some, had some phenomenal conversations. They're
great people.
Great people. Their vehicle is sparkly clean. Yeah. They've got water for you. You know, then you see the other side.
Yeah.
Where you're like, are we going to make it from point A to point B?
I know.
I just don't know if we're going to get there.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Jeff Kroll is here, attorney at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Still laughing, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Jeff Kroll, attorney at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC. You want to go to salvilaw.com if you need more information. Wendy, we have a story about a tragic bus crash of just a couple of days ago.
You know, and Jeff, I was thinking about it this morning. I was walking the new puppy at about 6:45 last Monday at this time. Before we changed our clocks back, it was pitch black. That's when that bus accident happened in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah.
So that I just feel like we used to have the same turning the clocks back, and then how long ago did we change it where it's the weekend before Halloween? You know what I'm saying?
I don't get it. Yes. I don't get it. And you know, that's a senseless incident for those three lives.
But it was pitch black. Yeah. I know we're going to get, you know, it's going to be dark at 4 o'clock now. That stinks. But I admit it on the air. I didn't know when you see a stop sign on a bus that even if you're coming in a different direction, you have to stop. I've noticed all over the news now that everybody's reminding everybody when you see a stop sign, regardless of the direction, unless you're on a four-lane highway with a median in the middle, you just stop. But doesn't common sense kick in when you see flashing lights or a bus and you go, I better slow down just in case?
There's so many bells and whistles that should be going off to you as a driver. But, you know, I see so much in my neighborhood impatience where you just see
all the time
people, they're you know, we've got one of those, because we're live 2 doors away from a school, one of those signs that shows how fast you're going.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
I hate those signs.
People,
yeah. I always am over the limit.
Sign by Wendy's house says, Wendy, you're going this speed. They know she's coming.
Yeah, that's never a good sign. That's like that one commercial with Bob. Bob had his own lane.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
But, you know, people are in a hurry all the time. They don't. A child's safety, it takes an incident like this, sadly, in Rochester to grow awareness, not only in that community, but nationwide. And too many senseless deaths are occurring where people are just impatient. They're looking on their phone. These kids are being dropped off over there. I don't have to worry about them.
Right.
And that's when these sad, you know, keep going back to distracted driving too. Distracted driving is such, it's my biggest concern as a parent. Not only for my children, but for the other people.
For other people on the road that your children are driving next to.
Yeah, I see people, you know, moms pulling out from the school after they delivered a child.
Not after birth.
Yes, they delivered a child at school.
Sure.
And dropped the child off, and they're texting.
But why isn't a police officer out there? Because I got busted, I got popped one time. I was in a school zone, and my phone rang, and I just, honest to God, I looked down for a second, and there happened to be a police officer coming by. He turned around and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I looked to see who was calling. He's like, you're in a school zone.
Yep.
And again, I said, so? And that's the law. You can't use a phone in a school zone.
A second is all it takes, right?
I got popped. I felt like I was like on Law and Order or something there with Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy was a perp. Cool.
But it's true. It's the school zones. People are
construction zones, school zones. And I do want to jump in. There's another thing on Ogden Avenue, kind of near us. There is a flashing lighted stop sign. And when someone wants to cross, there's a bike trail in a park across the street. Yeah. Ogden's a very busy area. It's right by the tri-state to get on 294. Yes. And there are, when that light is flashing, someone has hit the button and you're supposed to stop and let people cross. Do you know how many times I see people just fly through the blinking stoplights?
Funny story, about 2 years ago I got rear-ended because I stopped there.
The guy
behind me was like, what are you stopping for?
Well, remember a couple of years ago they started putting all these crosswalks in where it's a designated crosswalk that if somebody's walking across, you have to stop. So there's little smaller stop signs. So as they start putting these in and it becomes new to people, people would always stop at them even when there wasn't anyone crossing, and that created a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no right or wrong. You know, the other one, I found the people I feel sorry for every once in a while, and I just saw this the other day because Wednesday is when our garbage and all that is removed. Those people are flying around those trucks. Not the garbage removal
people. The drivers around them.
The drivers have safety issues because there's people that are just flying around their garbage truck when it's parked.
Yeah. If you see a stopped vehicle, don't you proceed with caution and slow down?
Well, that's the law in Illinois.
Or you'll get popped.
You'll get popped or pinched or whatever.
Pinched and popped.
I gotta admit, it was pretty fun to say that.
And it costs extra to get pinched and popped, but sometimes it's worth it, Jeff. You know this.
On weekends, it's usually free.
Sometimes it is. So after this horrible bus accident a week ago, I thought, here's what will happen. People will be really careful for a couple of weeks and then go back to the way things used to be, sadly. It took a couple of days, and I'm watching. The accident was on a Monday. Wednesday or Thursday of last week, I saw somebody, not even on the opposite side, but on the same side with a bus, a school bus that had the stop sign out. This guy just goes around the bus and stuff, and the bus driver's going nuts, yep. You know, gesturing at the sign. I have the stop sign out. He just flew right past. What does that say about people?
You know, so many people have the mentality, it won't happen to me.
I guess.
There's not going to be. I do this 100 times. It won't happen to me.
That one time.
You know, all it takes is that one time. Oh. That's they gamble, we lose.
Yep. So true. What else? What else should we cover with you today?
The fines for distracted driving are next to nothing.
Is anyone getting pulled over for that?
I'm not seeing it anymore.
I'm not seeing it. Ever.
They made such a big deal out of it when it became a law that you couldn't drive and use your cell phone at the same time. But every day you see people do it, I don't see anybody getting pulled over.
Well, here, I'll just give you this stat. You know, for example, if you have a DUI, you can get in a lot of trouble financially and criminally, etc. It's like $100 if you get pulled over for distracted driving. But yet, if you look down at your phone, if you're going to speed limit, you look down at your phone for 5 seconds, which is the average, you're going over a football field in distance.
Wow.
So how is that not like a second offense, third offense? These people should be practically jailed.
Right.
And it's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
I think we need further punishment.
It's not being enforced at all.
It's not being enforced.
No, and there are more distracted driving incidents happening right now than drunk driving incidents. I'm sure of it.
But you know what? No one admits to the fact that they were texting and driving.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I do for a living, and I can tell you, we could see their phone records. We know they're texting, and they're like, "No, that wasn't my phone."
Although, Bill, explain your situation.
All right, so a year and a half ago, I got hit by somebody who was obviously, you could tell by the way the car was approaching, they were texting and driving at the same time. I don't know if they were actually physically texting or reading messages, but somebody hit me, and I said to the police officer, they were texting and driving. It's so apparent. You have to take the phone. He goes, I can't do that. I go, you have to. It's pertinent to the case. He goes, I can ask her if she wants to surrender the phone, but if she says no, that's as far as I can go. I can't do anything about it. That's not right.
This wasn't in Chicago, was it?
No, Evanston.
But, I mean, think about it. It's not right, but do you want a police officer to pull you over and say, let me see your phone? Because there was an accident last week. I want to see if you were on it. I mean,
I think that if it's pertinent to the case, and it was in this instance.
But if there were no significant injuries.
Yeah.
I think the police, candidly, from my experience, they just write the ticket and get out.
And that's
they're
it.
They're not going to do
that makes
full,
sense. If someone was injured,
it might have been a different story.
But we get to subpoena the records, you know, and I get...
you do?
Yeah, we get this. In every case, we subpoena the records to see whether or not they were on the phone. Because, believe it or not, some people aren't candid about whether they were
on the phone. So what happens if you're in an accident and it's obvious by the records that the phone was in use? Is it even close to what you would get if it was a DUI? Because it's just as dangerous.
But the police won't, but that's in their rearview mirror then.
Oh, it is.
It'll be more for the civil suit versus a ticket. Oh. Because the ticket is done.
Right.
It's been written. It's been written.
Yeah.
And no police officer, nobody's going to come back. And if I say, look it, I've got this.
Yeah.
That's sad. It is.
That's awful.
We need to be more careful out there, and we need to let people in when they're trying to merge. I mean, there are more cars, but people are ruder these days, too. I mean, we're all here to share the roads together. It's amazing when I'm driving in that the car coming the opposite direction is not going over the center line. There's a matter of trust that we have in everybody out there, and we're all on this road together. Why can't we just let people in or wave thank you? Or what happened to that?
I don't know. I've tried to instill with my son, road rage, where you don't.
There's a story on the news today. Someone was just shot because of a road rage incident.
Someone cuts you off. Don't do something stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just they've got a problem. They're having a bad day or what do you ever want to say. But there used to be a guy named Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you ever heard of
him. Yeah.
Motivational speaker.
I used to love Zig Ziglar. Yeah. But one day this executive got cut off and he got all mad. So he gets to the office, yells at his secretary. Secretary yells at her husband. Husband gets home, yells at the kid. Kid's all mad, kicks the cat.
Oh.
And the whole story is, wouldn't it have been easier if this executive just kicked the boy's cat and eliminated everybody else? Right. But, and that's kind of how, your wife calls and gets you upset. And then the next thing you know, you're yelling at somebody. And
that is true.
It is.
It escalates.
It escalates.
And someone gets popped, Wendy. It's not just you. Someone always ends up getting popped. It is fun. It is fun. Jeff, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Greatly appreciated. It's Jeff Kroll, attorney at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard PC. You can find them right there on your computer, Salvi, S-A-L-V-I, law.com. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
This just in, Kanye West's favorite restaurant, McDonald's.
Is that right?
He's declared that. I just felt like throwing that in.
How about that? Wow. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, I don't suppose there's any way we could convince you to talk about the elections tomorrow, right?
I would much rather talk about Wendy's Botox.
Yeah? It's up to you. Whatever you
come
prefer.
Come back in 7 to 10 days.
You know what's going to happen, Bill, is that you and I are going to continue to age.
Yes.
And Wendy's going to keep looking younger.
Wendy's going to Benjamin Button us.
Phil mentioned earlier, how do you know when you've had too much, when someone comes to your door and does what?
They'll sit, like Wendy will come to the door and they'll go, is your mommy around? We need to talk to your mother.
They'll talk to your little kitty. Yeah. We got a big election coming up.
We've been told that this is one of the biggest elections of our lifetime. Is that true?
Yeah, we hear that. I think we hear that every 2 years.
Wait, why though? I don't understand why this is.
Because of the shift in Congress, the potential shift in Congress.
The potential shift in the House.
The House.
The Illinois elections are going to be interesting too. We can talk about those. I think that Donald Trump making this election about himself. He has clearly said in all his rallies, this is about me. I'm not on the ballot, but this is about me. You're going to tell me whether you approve of how I'm doing things.
Is that true, though? So if people vote Republican, they're supporting Trump. Well, if they don't, they're not.
It depends. With these midterm elections, usually presidents don't do all that well in midterm elections. George W. Bush did pretty well in 2002. It was shortly after the year after the 9/11 attacks, and there was a lot of patriotism. People were rallying behind him. But generally, Barack Obama got his butt kicked in the midterms both times. And that just happens, because the other party is more energized than the party that has the White House, usually. Trump has been going around trying to change that. His approval ratings, I saw something flash
39%.
On CNN, 39%. I saw that flash.
Yeah.
That's awfully low for a president to try to have people grab onto coattails like that. So when you're looking at the U.S., I've got my numbers here so I don't mess them up. But the Democrats have to take 23 seats, I believe it is. I just want to make sure they need to flip 23 Republican-held seats to take control of the House.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but there are 435 seats, so there's a lot of races, so when you have that many seats up, and the Republicans are defending so many seats, there's going to be some opportunities there for them, and there's some interesting ones to watch local. If you sort of want to get a sense of how things are going nationwide, you might want to take a look at some races in Illinois that look like are going to be of interest. One of them is out in the western suburbs where Republican incumbent Peter Roskam, that's a district that Hillary Clinton won by 7 points, and he's going up against Sean Casten, who's a scientist and entrepreneur, and he's a Democrat.
With some pretty brutal TV campaigns on both sides.
Aren't you tired of those?
But how do you know what to even believe? There's this one with Erica Harold where, her stance on abortion, even in rape and incest, and she goes, I've made my point. But there was,
the tape, and it's really, it's a very.
They should just
game.
Have her go well, and yeah. then.
Well, I was. I don't know if I was in that particular interview with Erica Harold. I certainly was in our Tribune editorial board endorsement session with her, and thus the question came up about her position on abortion, and she is opposed to abortion personally, and she says that she will. defend the law. And but it's kind of, it's a, you know, obviously she's trying to steer around that issue.
But is she against abortion to the extreme that they paint her in these ads?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's an extreme position, but it's a logical one. Yeah. And there are a lot of conservatives who say, like, that why should it matter? Why should the circumstances of conception matter if you think that's a child? It doesn't, you know, if someone had a child who was the product of rape, you would say, well, we can kill that child then. I mean, it, like I say, it's a logical position. It sounds very extreme, yeah. and the effect could be quite extreme if you had, like, a, you know, a 12-year-old girl raped by an intruder and impregnated, and you say, well, no, sorry, kid, you've got to have that baby. I mean, that sounds really drastic.
Yeah.
But in any case, she said she sort of steers around that question, and she's running for attorney general against Kwame Raoul, who's the Democrat, and they're taking over for Lisa Madigan, who's resigning. And she basically says, well, you know, my personal feeling is this, but I will support the law. And she gave the same kind of answer when you ask her about gay marriage. She was opposed to gay marriage. You know, Barack Obama was opposed to gay marriage at one point, so it's not like it's this radical viewpoint. A lot of people have evolved on it.
Yeah,
but the commercials make it seem
the country has evolved on it. I don't think that if she's elected attorney general, she's going to be able to single-handedly or even participate in an effort to overturn gay marriage. I'm a little more concerned about an attorney general's role in health care, because there are attorney generals around the country who are suing the government about certain provisions of Obamacare.
Right.
And so if you have an attorney general who supports the expansion of health care versus one who doesn't, that to me is a more urgent and important issue than some of these other issues. I don't think the abortion issue is going to be something that a Republican attorney general in a state that's going to continue to be run by Democrats, no matter who wins the governor's race, there's almost no chance, I would say zero chance, that the Republicans are going to take the House. And I think there's mathematically no chance they're going to take the Senate, because there's significant advantages for the Democrats in Illinois, no matter who's the governor.
Yeah.
So whether Erica Harrell, if she is an extreme social conservative, she's not going to be able to do much with that. I think the thing that she does have going for her, she places more emphasis on political corruption and trying to fight that. Now, there's an argument to be made that the Illinois Attorney General's office is not really equipped in staffing or in mandate to fight political corruption, but she wants to place the emphasis on that. Is why I predicted that she might win. I think it's going to be in Illinois. It's going to be, I think, a pretty strong Democratic year.
Yeah,
it might be in the rest of the country. I'm really hesitant to make a lot of predictions because I just felt like I got so badly burned because I predicted Trump's demise like four or five times.
Right. I don't trust polls.
The polls are hard to trust.
Eric,
it's not even the Botox talking.
Just discussing this because there's no way.
Every single poll had Trump losing to Hillary Clinton.
Well, he did, actually, in the popular vote.
By the numbers, but he's in the Oval Office right now. So our faith in the polling companies is at an all-time low.
I'm going to ask you this. My youngest son, Dylan, is not old enough to vote yet, but he said he's so disillusioned, and he said, why should people bother to vote if the popular vote isn't working? Why bother?
Well, because the popular vote does work in a lot of areas that are very important.
Yeah.
You know, it works in congressional districts. It works everywhere, but really the Electoral College, right?
Right.
I mean, and there is this imbalance in the Senate where someone who votes for Senate in Wyoming, their vote has like five or six times the weight of someone who votes in or more than someone who votes in California. But no, for most races, and your son, every young person should vote because old people like me are voting.
Right.
And I'm not going to be around that long. They're going to be around for another 60 or 70 years.
He's only 15, but he had that question.
He's going to have to live in the world that's being made by the people who are elected a lot longer than I'm going to, or even you guys. You know, it's like it's one of those things where this is your opportunity to help shape the country that you're going to live in, the state you're going to live in, the city you're going to live in.
But why isn't that? Why isn't that storyline of eliminating the Electoral College, why isn't that an issue? Why isn't anybody pressing that?
Well, people have pressed it. It's an almost impossible constitutional lift because you have to amend the Constitution to do it, and to amend the Constitution, you'd have to get the support of a lot of these smaller states that are really advantaged by the Electoral College.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that Wyoming or Montana or a lot of these small states are going to say, yeah, we'll give up our Electoral College power in order to go to a popular vote model. There is an effort that's afoot to do it in a way that wouldn't change the Constitution, where you would pass a law in every state saying that we will give all of our electors to we will give all of our electors to the person who wins the national popular vote. So if Illinois,
they shouldn't conflict with one another.
So essentially, what you would do is, if you have enough states that agree to do that, say like, okay, we're in California and we have, what do they have there? 60 electoral votes. I have no idea.
I think it's a lot.
45, whatever it is. That even if the Republican wins the popular vote, we will give all of our electoral votes to the Republican. So that they will enforce. If you get enough states to agree to do that. And so there's this thing where some states are passing this law, but the law is only triggered if a certain number of states agree to do this.
Yeah.
More than enough states to control the Electoral College. That's the only way that I can see it ever actually happening, because big states would then have enough power to do it. You can't, realistically, amending the Constitution is really, really hard. And in this case, I think it's impossible.
Yeah. California has 55, by
55?
The way.
55? See, okay. We were closer. But it's a lot. Closer. It's a lot. But, you talk about polls. It's the 70th anniversary, I was reminded, of the Dewey Defeats Truman
episode. Oh, is it? Yeah.
At the Tribune.
Today or tomorrow?
I don't know how we're going to celebrate. I think it's this election. I'm not sure exactly what day it was. So I'm really reluctant to say, well, J.B. Pritzker is going to win. I mean, every poll we've seen...
Will he hold up a Tribune saying...
Rauner's going to hold up that Tribune.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it certainly looks like it, but like Wendy, I've come not to trust these polls.
No.
And I feel like because... I mean, I don't... Do you ever answer your phone? If I see a number I don't recognize, I don't answer it.
Yeah.
Cell phone or landline.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering who they're asking, who they're getting, how many people they have to go to get these responses. And... You know, they still manage to be relatively accurate.
A survey of 42 people says.
Right.
But all this, stuff does depend on turnout, too. And you've got really, really energized Democrats in place, especially in places like Georgia, evidently. There's long lines to vote there.
Really?
But you've also got really energized Republicans who are answering this call from the president. So we're going to have to watch and see in some of these early returns as some of the votes come in places like Virginia.
Yes.
Or Florida. I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens in Florida and Wisconsin. They have governor's races there.
Yeah.
Scott Walker is running for a third term up in Wisconsin.
Rick Scott in Florida.
And Rick Scott is running. He's the senator. He's running for governor in Florida, and so you've got those races, and those will break. The polls will close in Florida at 6 o'clock Chicago time,
mm-hmm.
and things are slow to close, and it may close at 7 in the Panhandle. Remember, the Panhandle closes later. There was that issue in 2000, and there's supposed to be storms in the Panhandle in the next couple of days. So I don't know if people are going to get out and vote there. But if you see those races start to go, if you see a huge victory for, say, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, he's the incumbent Democrat in a state that Trump won like 66% of the vote in West Virginia, but he is favored because he feels like he has the sense of West Virginia in his bones there.
Huh.
So if you see him in the state of Virginia, if you see these congressional races going to the Democrats, or if you see Florida, the mayor of Tallahassee is running down there. So you have all these races that we're going to know pretty early in the night how things are going, and that probably will translate nationwide. So
interesting. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and a 20 on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the elections that take place tomorrow. After the Electoral College, the second biggest gripe I have with what's going on politically is the amount of money that's spent for various offices. We can start out with Rauner and Pritzker, two very wealthy men that are spending insane amounts of money to get the office.
You think you're mad? Think how their kids must feel.
Going through all of our money.
It's our inheritance. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What do we do about that? How could you possibly spend that much money for a job that pays a fraction of what you're spending?
I don't see a way to get a hold of that. And the reason I don't is because you could say, okay, JB, you can't spend this money, but there's so many ways around that.
Yeah.
Where you can have independent, ostensibly independent organizations doing outside expenditures on for candidates. So it's like money just flows like water around any barriers that you put up.
But doesn't it say that a guy of simpler means, a man who's not a millionaire or a billionaire, doesn't stand a chance in politics?
Well, this is what people said about Daniel Biss. If you remember, he was one of the candidates who ran as the middle class candidate. And he truly, Daniel is truly a middle class guy.
Yeah.
And he was state senator up in Evanston. And, well, he may have been even your state senator.
Yeah, we had him on.
He was a very nice guy.
And kind of a wonk. He was a former math prof.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really really knows his state budget stuff, and he seemed like a guy who was really level-headed and had a very serious take on a lot of these serious issues that are facing Illinois, as opposed to people who's like, hey, this sounds like a fun job. You know, I could be, I'm a rich right. guy. I've run a lot of companies. I think I'll be governor. Daniel had a really hard time. He raised, you know, some money. He didn't, he wasn't totally poor. He was able to get on the air and remember his ads. But yeah, it's really hard for just a normal person to find their way into politics.
Doesn't that bode poorly for the future?
Yeah, money buys you a position.
Well, and it kind of used to be that the rich people would just fund other candidates.
Right.
So you'd have these guys like Ken Griffin in Illinois, who's, I think, the richest guy in Illinois. He throws a lot of money at Republican candidates. But these guys now, somebody told me that Ricketts, not Tom Ricketts, who's the other, Joe Ricketts?
I think he's
the anyway. Yeah. One of the Ricketts is
the owners of the Cubs.
Not the guy, but not the guy most associated with the Cubs. One of the other
that's
Ricketts.
That's Tom.
So it's the other guy. So yeah. Anyway, that he's thinking about running for major office.
Oh.
Now. And it makes sense because that's what people who are wealthy who've been supporting other candidates finally go, hey, well, why not me?
I
can do this. I've got ideas. And it's a problem. But, you know, it's like when you propose an idea, like I've got an idea, we can limit the spending here. And then there's just all these other outside groups,
right.
these PACs, these super PACs, Citizens United, the U.S. Supreme Court decision basically took all the shackles off those kind of organizations. It might be that we'll be able to get some sort of control on that. And the other thing, though, about that is how much does this money buy, do you think, these people? Because I was watching, was it football? I think it was the Bears game yesterday, and there were just tons.
First place Bears, you mean?
The first place Chicago Bears. And you know, they were just ad after ad. I was all weekend, all the shows that I watched, there's so many ads. And in some ways, I just like tune them out, and,
yep.
I resent these candidates.
And they cancel each other out. There will be an ad for one candidate, and then the person they're running against right after.
I miss real commercials all of a sudden.
We want Palmolive ads.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah. And of course, they'll dry up instantly, obviously, right after the campaigns are over, starting probably tomorrow afternoon.
Sure.
You won't see them anymore. But at some point, there's got to be diminishing returns on those,
you would
on
think.
Those things. But,
people can hear you here as part of our election night coverage tomorrow night.
Yes, I'm going to be on with Justin Kaufman starting at 8, and then I'm going to stay and hang
tonight?
Out with Patty Vasquez. And tonight I'm going to be on with Scott Stamos.
Okay.
So he's going to be sitting in tonight after 11, I think.
Yes.
So I'll be here for that, too. So I'm basically going to camp out here at WGN. So.
That's perfect. We love having you. Thanks, Eric.
Put your sleeping bag in the corner.
We'll review everything next Monday.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune.